Advent greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome this morning from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Today is the third Sunday in Advent and our theme this Advent and Christmas is God is with us as we look to find hope in a year that's seen so much isolation and where we've had to be in community in new and different ways. Retired Minister Reverend Stephen Yelland is our preacher today and his topic is God is with us in the Incarnation. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please join me now in our call to worship. Your parts will appear in white on the screen. In this season of waiting and longing, we come looking for God in our world. We come seeking light. Come, Christ Jesus. As we wait for restoration and Christ's reign on earth, may seeds of hope take root among us. We come seeking light. Come, God with us. Listen for the voice breaking through the winds of the wilderness. One who is greater is coming. We come seeking light. Come, Emmanuel. Soon God's salvation will come. God's deliverance will be revealed. For a woman shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Come, Lord Jesus, come soon. So as we long for light and hope and wait for Christ's return, let's join together singing number 706 in Singing the Faith, Christ be our light. Longing for light, we wait in darkness, we turn to you. Longing for hope, your word alone has the power to save us. Let us come before God in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we await your coming. We wait filled with hope, knowing your light will shine in the darkness. We wait anticipating your peace, believing that one day it will fill our world. We wait embracing your love. May we reach out to share it with our neighbours. We wait with joy bubbling in us in expectation of your birth. Lord, we wait. Come soon and fill us with your life. And we come now to confess our sins before you. Holy God, open our eyes to the presence of your Spirit upon us, within us, among us. For our apathy in the presence of oppression, forgive us. If we have contributed to the brokenheartedness of anyone, forgive us. For our participation in systems that enslave, forgive us. When we are deaf to your good news, have mercy and open our ears. Hear our prayer, O God, and forgive our sins. Hold us in your mercy now and forever. Amen. This is the time of God's favour. God's grace continues to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, good news to the poor, and freedom to the oppressed. In the name of Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Before we light our third Advent candle, we're going to listen to this scripture reading from the prophet Isaiah. And reading for us today is Christine O'Neill, and Christine is the senior steward at Allen Road Methodist Church.
This reading is from Isaiah chapter 61, and it's verses 1 to 4. The year of the Lord's favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations.
Let us now light our third Advent candle.
We want everything to look nice, the decorations of the season, our homes with their lights and tinsel, wreaths and ribbons. We want to lighten the darkness around us, bring beauty to the ugliness that wears us down.
We decorate because it is tradition, because it lifts our hearts, because it makes us feel like children again. We deck our halls to bring some joy to our lives.
The prophet Isaiah smiled when he said, God will give a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit.
No matter how far we feel from the spirit of the season, God promises to decorate us with love and with joy.
We light this candle as a sign of our joy in the beautiful things of this season. Not just the things that glitter and flash, but the deeper things. The beauty of the heart and the soul. The beauty of love shared in service and hospitality.
We light this candle of joy because God was with us, God is with us, and God will be with us. O come, Emmanuel.
Veni,
veni,
veni.
This reading is from John chapter 1. First of all, it's verses 6 to 8, and then verses 19 to 28. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He didn't fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now, some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ? Nor Elijah, nor the prophet. I baptized with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thanks be to God.
So John the Baptist, one of the saints in our lives, cries out using the prophet Isaiah's words, prepare for God's arrival, make the road straight and smooth, a highway fit for our God, for God is coming. May we too prepare the way of the Lord. Jim and Jean Strathdy are United Methodists living in Sacramento, California, and they've generously made some of their music freely available. So I invite you to listen first and then sing along to Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. Make room in your hearts, O children.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
It has been a tough year. We never could have predicted the things that have happened. Where are you finding your hope? We believe in a God who's always with each one of us, a God who loves us and holds us throughout our lives. God is with us is the Christmas theme for our connection and for our circuit this year. Take a look at our introductory video.
Even when we're isolated.
When we're grieving.
When we're struggling.
When we have hit rock bottom.
We're never alone.
This year has been unbelievable.
But we have pulled together.
We've worked hard to care for people.
To feed people.
To help people.
To heal people.
And we've said loud and clear that people matter more.
That injustice is unacceptable.
That our community is vital.
Our buildings have been closed.
But we have been at work.
God's love is uncontainable.
In times of despair.
And in times of hope.
You are loved.
This Christmas and always, whoever you are.
And whatever you have been through this year.
God is with you.
God is with me.
God is with us.
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 God is with us. It's great to be with you on this third Sunday of Advent. Like Spect, as Joan may have mentioned, my name is Steve Yelland. I'm a retired Methodist minister. I was in the Ipswich Circuit from 1993 to 2001 with responsibility for the Woodbridge section of the circuit.
So really good to be with you now on this third Sunday of Advent. And the theme I've taken for today is God is with us in the incarnation. And of course, I've been thinking about how we experience the incarnation, how I experience the incarnation. How do you experience the incarnation? And I'm going to look at this in three ways. They say that preachers like to have three points, don't they? So I'm running true to form for this online service. So how do we experience the incarnation? Well, first of all, we experience incarnation through the saints, through those who have impressed us with the quality of their lives. Recently, I had the good fortune to visit the island of Lindisfarne, Holy Island, off the Northumberland coast. And Holy Island is steeped in the early history of the church in these islands. And David Adams, who's an Anglican clergyman, who's written a great deal about Celtic Christian spirituality. David Adams was for a time the incumbent, the Anglican priest on Holy Island. And he writes very movingly about the inspiration that he received when he reflected on the lives of the saints who had established the church in the north of England, particularly in relation to the monastic settlement on Lindisfarne itself. He writes with inspiration about St. Aidan, who founded the community, and then St. Cuthbert, who developed the community, and how these and others won the north of England for Christ through their lives, through their saintliness, through their example. And so when we think about the history of the church, we can give thanks for those who have been saints. Well, that's going back to the early centuries. Much more recently in our own history, we have the Methodist Church. Now, I have to confess that although I grew up in the life of the Methodist Church, I was pretty ignorant about our history. I can remember a lady coming up to me in the street and asking me if I attended the Wesleyans. And I remember replying, saying, oh no, I go to the Methodist Church. I knew very little about our history. But then, of course, with the onset of studies, church history and theology, I got to learn a little bit more about our history and discovered the lives of the Wesley brothers from the 18th century, John and Charles Wesley, and their stellar preaching friend, George Whitfield, who was the Billy Graham of the 18th century and who led the revival that the Wesley brothers then spearheaded. And I became so taken with them and impressed by their resilience, by their determination, and by their courage to preach the gospel, even when they had to do so in sometimes quite dangerous circumstances. They were attacked on many occasions, and John Wesley in particular. And so I was able to take inspiration from our own Methodist saints. But we make a mistake when we think about saints as belonging into the mists of history, mists of time. Well, for example, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome and in Corinth, he described the recipients of his epistles as the saints. They were his contemporaries, they were of his lifetime, but he described them as saints. And as far as he was concerned, all those who were members of the church, those who had committed their lives to Christ, they were saints. And so I've been thinking about those in my lifeline who have impressed me with their saintly qualities. I think particularly of my parents, my mother and my father, who nurtured us in the faith and who prayed with us. I think of an RE teacher at my secondary school, Paul, a lovely man who discerned in the questions that I was asking during our lessons that here was a soul searching for God. I think of my sister and my brother, my sister who's a church steward in her local Methodist church, my brother who is himself now a retired Anglican non-stipendiary priest. Lovely Christian people. And then I think of friends, and particularly, though not exclusively, of those of my friends who, like me, followed the call to enter into ministry. I think of my oldest friend, my bestie, Dave, and his wife, Margaret. I think of Les and Jill, of Tom and Judith, of Martin and Biddy, of Mike and Karen. Those who have been companions in life's journey with me and who have become such wonderful friends through their support, their kindness, their unconditional kindness and compassion, they have illuminated for me those qualities that I think of as saintliness. The list, of course, could go on, quite a gallery of those whose lives have enriched mine. And I wonder whether, when you think about this, whether you can reflect on those whose lives have been an inspiration to you, those you may have learned about in history, or those who have been on your life journey with you, who have helped to enrich your life and help you in coming to faith in Christ. So we experience the incarnation in the saints, those who have gone before, and the saints who are with us now. And then secondly, we experience the life of the incarnate God through the life of the church. I think I may not be alone in missing the opportunities of gathering together with God's people in worship and fellowship. Having been a cradle Methodist, I know I've taken for granted all that the church has had to offer over the years. But the fact that I'm leading our thoughts today from my kitchen brings it home to me quite forcibly how much I miss being able to go to church. Over the years, there have been those moments when I have been in church and become acutely aware of God's loving presence, whether in a hymn or a prayer during the sermon, or indeed in the after-worship conversation. I know, of course, that the building is not the church. It's the sanctuary where we purposefully come to offer our worship and to open our hearts seeking Christ. The church is the people loving Christ and looking to make sense of the faith in the midst of the ever-changing scenes of life. It is in this coming and being together that we can experience the incarnation, where we become receptive to the incarnate God impacting upon us. And of course, thirdly, there is the way we experience the incarnation, the way we experience it in our hearts. That is writ deep in the DNA of the Methodist Church worldwide. Christian faith isn't just about attesting to a set of profound principles or faith formularies. It is so much more. Again, for example, Wesley's search for the experience of the incarnate led him in missionary endeavours and adventures across the Atlantic to the New World. But all the while, Wesley knew that there was something missing from his faith, something missing from his life, something missing in his heart. But finally, in 1738, on a May night, whilst in Christian company, he eventually experienced the incarnate presence of God. And he recorded it in this way in his journal. He writes, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that Christ had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me." I recall a chorus myself, a chorus that I haven't sung for a very long time, but which goes something like this. "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." So I'm suggesting to you this morning that we experience the incarnate God through the life of the saints, past and present, those gone before, those with us now. That we experience the incarnate God in the life of the church, its impact on us and those we engage with. And I'm suggesting to you that we experience the incarnate God in our hearts, invading us with love and with grace and with salvation. So thank you very much for listening to me today. Thank you for watching this recording. And as you continue in your preparations for Christmas, however that may be for you, I pray that you will experience the incarnate love of God. God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Stephen, for your message to us. As we think about the many ways in which God is incarnate in our lives today, and the saints and the angels who've enriched our lives, let's celebrate that God came first to us as a baby, laid in a cattle stall, with the angels rejoicing. Let's sing together with the Woodbridge Methodist Church Choir, "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly."
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little lowing, Christ the
Swift as wind, lift up angels sing.
As we come to our prayers of intercession, it is with sadness that I have to tell you of the death last Sunday of retired minister Reverend Jack Bingham, who served for several years as minister in our Ipswich Methodist circuit and for the last few years has been living in Stowmarket. May he rest in peace. Let us pray together. In this season of light, we lift up in prayer so many who wait in darkness. People oppressed by poverty and discrimination, by political upheaval or dangerous rulers, those imprisoned wrongly, and also those imprisoned justly. Right what is wrong among us and in us, and restore us to you, to others, to ourselves. Make the broken-hearted whole again. Comfort those who mourn. Repair our ruined cities. In all the jostling and jingling of these days, do not let us lose sight of you or those whom you especially came to serve. People who are in need of healing. People who are overlooked or underdeserved. The ones who are lost. The ones we have made to feel little and least. And we now lift up our prayers for others that are on our hearts. This week, we especially pray for the family of Reverend Jack Bingham as they grieve his death. We give thanks for the new vaccine now being distributed and pray for its success. We lift up those who are diagnosed with COVID and pray for healing. And we ask for wisdom for our governance as the talks on a post-Brexit deal have the deadline looming ever closer. Light of the world, live among us always, full of grace and truth. We pray in the name of the one born in a manger and coming again on clouds of glory, saying together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in our worship service today. Christine O'Neill for reading scripture, Reverend Stephen Yelland for his message to us, Adrian Pell on the keyboard and the candle lighting litany, the Woodbridge Methodist Church Choir, the Strathdees from California, and the In Harmony Project from St. Edmundsbury Cathedral. It will be great to know that you were worshipping with us today. There is a form above this video if you are watching it on the Methodistic website. Just type in your name and location and click on the red button. This Advent, we have two daily messages for you. Just click on the Advent picture on our circuit website. We have our regular thought for the day, written by members from around the circuit. And we have a daily God is with us reflection from the connection, featuring people's journeys through this year and where they have found hope. So I encourage you to read them, and may your season be blessed. Today at 4 p.m, we have our circuit carol service by Zoom, or for those without computers, by phoning in and listening. If you don't have the Zoom code already, then ask your church steward, or you can register on the website and the link will be sent to you. You can also download the carol sheet from the website. We're going to sing lots of carols. We're going to hear a short message from Derek Grimshaw, and his message is called God is with us in human form. And then next week, Reverend Mike Cassidy will be our preacher as we continue our God is with us series and celebrate the fourth Sunday in Advent. God is with us in scandalous ways. So we come now to the time in our service where we offer ourselves to God, offering our time, our treasure, and our talents. So as you bring your offerings to send to your local church, may Christ's heart rejoice and the needs of others be tended. Let us pray. God of hope, peace, and joy, you have blessed our lives in so many ways. Receive these tokens of our blessings and use them so that your light shines in the darkness and that others may know the joy of your salvation. We offer these gifts in Emmanuel's name. Amen. As our service today comes to an end, let's sing with joy and with the saints and the angels the Christmas carol, Ding Dong Merrily on High. In heaven the bells are ringing.
Ding dong merrily on high.
Go from here to shine the light of Christ, knowing that God is with you, God is with me, God is with us. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.